If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Our road to the elections 2024, and the hashtag is elections on Kaya. Listen, take us into your confidence and call us 063-688-0959. That's where you can drop us a note, a voice note, and you can also call on 086-000-0959. Reverend Meshwe is here. We're looking at the ACDP manifesto. Any questions you have, he's here for you. We're here for an entire hour. Reverend Meshwe, thanks again for staying with us. Let's talk a little bit about what you are proposing would be the solution to get Eskom back on track. You're saying exempt Eskom from all the red tape, from all the procurement requirements. What do you mean by that?
The people want to bid for any position should be allowed. And secondly, the time period. When we were in, as an example, in Rwanda, we heard that to register a business, it takes them about less than 72 hours. Register a business from scratch. South Africa, because of red tape. How long does it take? Take months. And rather than our leaders learning from African countries like Rwanda, if you want people to come and invest, give them, listen to what they want, and give them what they want because you want their money, you want their investments. If they want what they apply for to be given within few days or few hours, do bend over backwards and give them. Why? Because you want investments that will benefit your own people. So red tape is a problem in South Africa.
Well, then, how are you going to deal with... Because essentially red tape and some of these procurement measures were put in place to deal with corruption, syndicates that you refer to on the manifesto. So how are you going to balance it? How are you going to avoid this kind of corruption that we are seeing is endemic in these state-owned entities without the red tape? Not that what you're saying doesn't make sense. I'm saying, how are you going to balance it out?
We need to learn from successful people. We need to swallow our pride. If people like Rwanda, I'll make Rwanda a great example, because I was there and I was surprised by what I saw. Okay? If they can do away with red tape and still be clean when it comes to governance, what are they doing that we're not doing?
Well, we can all agree, are we not, that South Africa has a corruption problem, an endemic corruption problem across the board, not just with state-owned entities. And so, as a party that obviously is a Christian-based party, there's a bigger problem here.
Sure.
So how do we deal with that?
Government should have a stick to punish the corrupt.
Government does it look like?
Pays lip service when they talk about dealing with corruption. We have members of cabinet, leaders in government, who have been pointed out, exposed, that they are part of those who are responsible for the corruption we have. What is government doing about it? What's the president doing about it? He can talk about we are going to deal with corruption. But when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, he doesn't do it. So in South Africa, that is why many criminals, and we are told international criminals, find South Africa as a good place to be at. Why? Because South Africa, they know that if you are found doing corruption, you are going to get away with it. There are people who are millionaires because of corruption. Now, ACDP, obviously, would ensure that, firstly, people are rewarded for exposing corruption.
Yes, you have a program for whistleblowers.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
If it is about finances, okay, a percentage, we say a percentage has to be given to a whistleblower, number one. Number two, whistleblowers must be protected because we see them as nation builders also. They are contributors that are not given the due that they deserve.
The tricky part about whistleblowers often, Reverend Meshwe, is that sometimes they become whistleblowers after having been part of the corruption. As a moral-based political party, How are you going to deal with the definition of who the whistleblower or who qualifies to be called a valid, legitimate whistleblower that would qualify for that kind of amount of money?
Well, anybody should be, can be a whistleblower.
Yes.
And if at all you stole, before you became a whistleblower, you have to pay back what you stole yourself. So you are not becoming a whistleblower to cover up your thefts. If you have stolen, you also must get the punishment for what you have done. But I think if we have such an attitude, corruption will be eradicated. A number of years, went to Brazil, to a city called Aziz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? City called Aziz. I don't know whether I'll have time to mention the three things that left me with my mouth open.
You're welcome to go.
Okay?
Yes.
Firstly, we were having church gatherings, and between the place, the church where we had meetings, and our residence was a huge city park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We would go home many times after 12 o'clock midnight
mm-hmm.
and see mothers and children in the park, not seeing one man.
Mm.
Now, for people coming from Joburg, it was a culture shock.
Mm.
And the question we asked was, won't they be raped? Is this not dangerous? And the locals said, not here. Not here. Because of punishment here, the rapists, they go to Sao Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, and others, Brasilia, and other
what
places.
What is that punishment? What kind
We did not go into the details of what kind of punishment.
Sure.
But they say they arrest and they are not allowing any second repeat offenders, for example, to easily get away if they are arrested again.
Mm-hmm.
They said we are using severe punishment, as I said, but we didn't go into details. But the second thing that shocked me, one morning, on a Saturday morning, a man came with a push-me-before-I-go car, skorokoro. All right? He parked this car in front of our residence, okay? Because the car did not have a self-starter. Opposite our residence was a tavern.
Mm-hmm.
The man left the car idling with the keys in the ignition, across the road into the tavern. I looked at my watch, about 25 minutes. The man was in the tavern, the car idling in front of South Africans' eyes. So we asked our host, won't that car be stolen? Again, the answer was, not here. Cars are not stolen. And then this person said, are cars stolen in South Africa? Because it was never in South Africa. Are cars stolen in South Africa? We said cars are stolen in South Africa. Even if you use a gorilla steering wheel, they'll take the car and the gorilla, Alice.
You said you've got three stories. What's the third one?
Okay. Thirdly, the mayor of the city knew that I was a member of parliament.
Yes.
So he hosted a farewell lunch for us.
Yes.
Okay. So politicians like speeches. He gave a speech. After his speech, he said, any question before we close? I raised my hand. I asked him, don't you have poor people in Aziz?
Mm.
He said, no, we have plenty. I said, but where are they? We don't see poor people around here, not even as a street lights. We don't see beggars. What do you do with poor people? He said, simple. We have a center where we keep poor people, maximum 14 days. Okay? Maximum 14 days. He said, during those 14 days, they trace the family of that person they found in the street. Because their argument is and their reasoning is everybody has a family. So there must be something wrong at home for a person to choose to sleep in the street. So when they find the family, if obviously it's relational issues, then they deal with them. They bring in social workers. Or in some cases also, he said, psychologists in extreme cases. He said, but after dealing with that, if the core problem is a job, joblessness, a person in the street because they're hungry.
Which is mainly what is the problem here, especially in the main cities.
He said, we take responsibility of feeding that person while we find a job for him. So that's how we do it. We feed that person and that family until we find a job for them.
Would we afford to do that? I mean, when you look at the province like Gauteng, where everybody comes here for a job, can Gauteng do that? Is that what you propose?
Gauteng can do it if we check how many people are coming from Gauteng from outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
Our borders are porous.
Mm-hmm.
We allow any Jack and Jill to come into the country. We have crime, so high crime rates in the country because we have people who do not qualify to be in the country. They are not known. They commit crimes. They get away with their crimes because you don't have their fingerprints. And so ACDB says, tighten the borders, close the borders. We know other parties are saying, no, Africa is one, remove all the borders. That's not practical. What are you going to do to ensure that people of the soil, and when I say people of the soil, I'm not talking about people from far countries, I'm talking about people who are born here. People who are born here are prioritized. And if they are prioritized, like you prioritize your children by putting a fence around your house. You have a fence, I have my fence to prioritize my children. Okay, when I have some leftovers, I can give others. But my main responsibility is my family. Government's number one responsibility is its own citizens.
Let's take a voice note from Tlotliso. Let's take a listen.
Greetings. My name is Tlotliso from Ekuruleni. I agree with Reverend Misha that we should start working with our hands. Young people should get used to working with their hands. If you look around areas like Wadeville and Germiston, they look like ghost towns now. We can't even make matchsticks or even toothpicks here in South Africa. We have to always import them. And we know that South Africa is an industrial country. We thrive with our industries. Our manufacturing industries are what makes the economy, even with our minerals. We take our minerals from here and then we have to buy them back again from Europe. So we need a party that will help us to bring back industrialization in this country.
All right. There is another voice note, Reverend, and then you can respond to both.
You know, as someone who is working within corporate South Africa and has been within corporate South Africa for the past 20 years, I have never ever come across a black person or an Indian person or a colored person who was hired purely because of their race. There has always been merit applied to that. I agree that while there are certain sectors that abuse BEE and there's fronting and etc., I do think for the large part, BEE is a good thing because essentially what will happen is that networks will widen. There's a popular saying, your net worth is your network. And right now, networks are very clicky. And unfortunately, it is according to race. So people are hiring people within their network. So I think because BEE has been applied incorrectly within certain sectors, not all, within certain sectors, we suffer because there's this stench on it that then makes it seem like we're getting in with no merit, you know? So I think we need a BEE 2.0 where it is correctly applied, where networks are widened and people are getting in on merit and everybody's network and net worth is improved.
Reverend?
Well, I agree. I agree with what she's saying. My point is we cannot rely on BEE forever. I was surprised when I was in the U.S. a few times, many black people saying, people who have been free for 100 years, and they are still complaining that we will never develop. And they say we'll never develop because we were meant to work for a white man. Now, they are not forced to work for a white man. Why don't the black person start good jobs and start employing black people? It's not happening. If it happens, very minimal, all right? So I'm saying BEE has its place. I agree that it has not been applied correctly in some circles, but there are circles where it has been applied correctly. If we look at Eskom, for example, we have been talking about Eskom, all right? If the caller can tell us where Eskom went wrong without making a general statement that BEE was not applied correctly, I would say about Eskom, the reasoning that Tata Mandela used when he said, I want Derrick Kiss to retain this position, because while we were fighting, this man was focusing on developing, improving his knowledge of finances, all right? And applied. He was given an opportunity to apply his knowledge. So we are guys, we are outside. We study. We are not given that opportunity to apply the knowledge. So Tata said, okay, let this one that has had an opportunity to apply the knowledge mentor this one that still needs to do practicals. Let him do the practicals under supervision. And because of that, there was success. All right? We cannot forever, I would not agree, and everybody has the right to their own opinion, but I would not agree that forever I want to be favored because of the color of my skin. I prefer to be favored because of what is in my head. I am skillful, I am able, and I know that if I'm put next to somebody of a different color, I will compete to people's surprise, okay? Because I'm skilled. But now, Tlotliso was correct. Mm-hmm. I want to appreciate what Tlotliso said. Mm-hmm. When we grew up, when we were still in school, mm-hmm. we were trained to work with our hands. Mm. All right? We were trained to work with our hands. While we were in primary schools, we were cleaning our own classrooms. Mm. We knew how to plant cabbage, spinach, carrots, you name it. We learned that when we were at school. So if parents were not working, we'd never go hungry because we are taught to use our hands, something which is lacking in our days. When the need for children to do cleaning and clean the old classroom was removed, we were told they must focus on their studies. The same people need 30% to pass, meaning that removing them from doing manual work has not made them better students. Mm.
I've got to get through. There are so many questions here I'm looking at. Wendy Isaacs is asking, okay, let me start. There's a lot of questions here. She's saying, are you seriously selling the idea that the SA embassy can be moved to Jerusalem, and how will you do that? She goes on to ask that, also, please explain your position on the genocide case at the ICJ, and how do you think that the issue of the Palestine will have lasting peace?
Lasting peace. If you want lasting peace, you need to agree that everybody's right to exist must be respected. You and I cannot be good neighbors if I refuse or I deny you the right to exist. Look at the manifestos. Look at what Hamas charter says, PLO charter says, that they will never accept the right of Israel to exist.
That has been removed from their charter. No. You know that.
No.
Yes, it has.
Okay, let's talk about that.
It has been removed.
When was it removed? I'll revise that. I'll check that again, because the last time
I promise you, it's no longer there.
Okay, no. Yes. All right, I'll check that again, and I'll owe you.
You'll owe me a sweetie.
You tell me what flavor, you'll get it. You'll get it. When a person, but I still take it with a pinch of salt. What do I take with a pinch of salt? Now, the mantra from the sea, from the river to the sea. Mm-hmm. Where does that leave Israel? Remove them from the face of the earth. That's what it means. So how do you turn around then and say, let's live together in peace? It's a contradiction. So there is deception somewhere. And I think there needs to be honesty. I have said to the president of South Africa in parliament that South Africa and the international community can stop the war in Gaza in 3 weeks to a month's time. They can if they want to. There is no political will to do it.
South Africa can stop the war.
Oh, yeah.
How can South Africa do that?
South Africa, they must tell the international community, there are three basic things mm-hmm. that must be done. Mm-hmm. Number one, I'm sorry, I have hands fly when
okay.
I speak.
It's okay.
Yeah. Number one, let us revisit this issue of allowing other people to live, the right to live. in South Africa, every tribe has the right. If somebody can say, maybe vendors or causers should not be allowed to leave, there will be a war, and I will defend whoever is told they don't have the right to leave. Okay, let's have the people give everybody the right to leave. Number two, the reason for the war was to stop or to get back the hostages. Pressure. I've heard South Africa, they've said it once or twice. I think there's been more from the river to the sea than release the hostages. Okay? If we are serious, say this was the reason, remove the reason for fighting.
Was that the only reason there is this war? Really?
No. I would not say the only. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it was the main reason that was spoken. We want the hostages to be returned. What stops the international community or South Africa to say, release those hostages?
What was the reason the October 7th actually happened, in your view?
That's a difficult one because I don't know what was in the minds of those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was in the minds of those guys. Okay? It happened. It was very unfortunate. It was very unfortunate. And the retaliation also was also very unfortunate. Okay? But there are two things. Release the hostages and also remove the tunnels. Okay? None of us here can sleep peacefully knowing that there's somebody under your house who wants to come in.
But who built the tunnels, Reverend Mishra?
Who built the tunnels?
Who built the tunnels? You know who built the tunnels. Okay, who built the tunnels?
Okay.
You know Israel built the tunnels. It's a fact.
No, not all of them. Not all of them. Okay, not all of them. All right, not all of them. And the purpose for which they were built in the first place, mm-hmm. it was not for the purpose of attacking people, causing wars or causing fightings and kidnapping of innocent people. That was not the purpose. All right? No nation can do that. So, okay? And
please attend and say,
come. I have not looked into that. I can look into that and come back, and then you get another sweetie for that one. All right. Okay. So these are the two things. But I think the third one, mm-hmm. the third one I think that should happen is that people should be told that everyone, okay, that's the second one, everyone has the right to exist. But there should be no charter. Mm-hmm. That says somebody must be removed from the face of the earth. And then...
What must Israel do?
Israel must negotiate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Israel must negotiate. They must show a willingness to negotiate. And I think, okay, this is me thinking, that if their right to live is guaranteed, we'll see a different Israel. I've never heard anybody say that. That's just my thinking. Because you are taking the right to fight, to defend your border. Mm-hmm. You are taking it away. Okay?
And do the Palestinians have a right to live?
Obviously. I said everybody. Whether you
agree with what we are seeing now? I mean, take away everything you've said and look at the current state of what's happening now.
That's heartbreaking.
Is that a people who've been given the right to live?
That's heartbreaking. But at the same time, the international community should say, remove women and children from the place where you want to fight. Do not use women and children as human shields. As simple as that. Okay,
we have seen. Why doesn't, for instance, the U.S. do that? Why doesn't Israel do that and remove women and children?
No. Let's put it this way: when people are fighting and you bring women and children to be human shields, you hide behind them. I mean, that's wrong.
But it's easy. Israel can just simply give them the passage to remove the children and the women, and then we can have half of that problem solved.
I don't think it's that easy. I thought it's that easy. How will you?
They're in charge of the borders, are mm-hmm. they not?
No. How will you reach them to remove them? Because
open the borders. Open the borders. Israel has every Israel.
Open the borders.
Yes.
And Israel, what's South Africa doing? What's South Africa doing? And allow everybody who wants to come in.
You've just said they need to be saved, right? The women and children. And there's a war. They want you. No. I'm working with what you're saying.
Okay, I hear you.
If we work with what you're saying, and you say let's allow them to fight, but remove women and children.
Uh-huh.
So why doesn't Israel do that? Open its borders, let the women and children to come in, and then let the war continue. That's how you see it.
Okay, no. Then you are saying then the men are not going to follow them. their children. They won't follow
but
them.
But I'm working with your analogy.
I agree. It's mine. Yes. But I am saying, and I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think the fathers and the brothers of those women and children will remain behind? If Israel can say, allow the women to come in and the children to come in, that can be tried. We can suggest that. But
Israel is actually very much in control, and you know that. Without a war, they've been in control. They are in control of who moves in and who moves out. I tell you now, they are very capable of managing those borders, which is what they're doing now.
Okay, about managing borders, I don't dispute that. They are managing borders. But do you know that before the control that we are seeing today was there, Intifada was introduced. And when Intifada was introduced, people were bombed in ordinary passengers, in buses, were bombed. Okay? Restaurants. People were bombed in restaurants. Until they said, no, we need to start controlling the movements. Because we have opened for everybody to go where they want to go. But look at what is happening because of our opening and allowing people to go where they want to go. So it is both sides. Both sides must take responsibility. If you are given the liberty, use your liberty profitably and don't abuse it or misuse it and start attacking people you don't like because you see an opening.
You want to talk about managing crime and those who are in jail. You want to give them some sort of some activities to do, and you also want to manage the parole system. Your suggestions on the parole system.
When a judge sentences anybody, he bases that sentence on the facts in front of him or her. All right? You look at the facts. Because of 1, 2, 3, this person deserves 30 years imprisonment. Then you have officials who say, hey, we have been watching this guy. We have been watching this lady. This person has improved. He behaves so well. So let him go home, in spite of what the judge has said. And then that person, when they go out, they re-offend. Why? Because when a person does not have the same environment where they committed the crime, they don't have the opportunity to recommit. That is why they can act like they've improved, they've changed.
Mm.
You have in prison somebody who was put there because they raped a child. They are in prison. There's no child to rape.
Mm-hmm.
How can you prove that that person has improved their behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Because the environment is different. So we are arguing that the environment only should not be used as a basis to undermine what the judge has said
mm-hmm.
based on the facts. Because those officials, they don't see the facts that were before the judge who imposed the sentence.
Mm. So what would you introduce that's different?
No. Parole, we say what the judge has said must stay. Okay. If he says 30 years, must be 30 years.
And deny all parole?
Scrap parole altogether. So that, you know, when people don't fear punishment.
Yes.
When people don't fear punishment, they repeat it, okay? And they come to a stage where they don't mind going to jail. You'll hear some people say, get out of here again. Get out of here again. Why? Because they don't fear. It's nice and comfortable for some people in some places.
So if you were to take that position as a president immediately, we would still have the problem of the jails being too full to keep all those prisoners in there without parole.
That problem of overcrowding will be dealt with within a short space of time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the innovative measures will include a person. Nobody will be in prison for stealing something.
Okay.
So
your response to theft, or is it more petty crime?
Okay. Petty crime. Let them clean buildings. Let them work for what they've done. Okay. Clean something. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with their hands
mm-hmm.
as a form of punishment. All right. If a person steals R1 million, for example,
yes.
You put them in prison. How do you get that million back? We are thinking of the victim. And we want to introduce a system that will allow the victim to get something out of what was stolen from them.
Reverend Mesh, are you saying these white collar crime people who steal millions would not have to account?
I'm saying, ACDP says restitution, you pay back fourfold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You are not going to sit in there. You are going to work and pay back four times what you have stolen. And with that fourfold that is going to come back from what you have stolen, maybe a quarter, 25% will go to the whistleblower. 25% will go to the man who worked hard to arrest that person. The money is used, 25%, for ensuring that that department is skilled so that they will be able to do what they are doing. But lastly, double the amount of the victim. The victim must get something back from what they lost.
That means corporate South Africa would get away with a lot.
No.
Because they would just pay.
No,
one will have to do any jail time. If you've got the money and you know that you're just going to be asked to pay back that money, that's what you'll just do.
No. If we realize that the people are doing this continually, deliberately, because they have money, then the sentence is going to be doubled.
I mean, I'll give an example. Steinhoff, yeah. What would you do there? Because, I mean, just to pay back that money would not be good enough.
When people know that there is going to be punishment, crime in South Africa is increasing.
Yes.
Whether blue collar, white collar, brown collar, whatever collar. When people know I'm going to get away with it, it becomes a culture.
Mm.
There is no fear of punishment.
Mm.
But when people know that I'm going to be punished severely if I'm found with this, then they are going to shy away from doing that. We want to bring back the fear of punishment.
All right, I'm late. Let me take a quick break and I'll take more. I see your voice notes. I'll come back to them in a short while.
Kaya Talk.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
Thanks for staying with us. I said I'll take your calls, 086-000-0959. I'll also listen to those voice notes. Let's take one, Reverend Mishwe.
Hello, Ms. Mutene. I think umfundisi lona mosi nje is just saying izinto naye angazazi mosi ke, and then which means yena he supports genocide leyenzeka eGaza ne, but okay, I don't want to dwell in that. Just ask him and then from there, what is their position as the party on BRICS? What is their take on BRICS?
Reverend Mishwe, your take on BRICS?
No problem with BRICS. It's a partnership that benefits countries that are within that partnership, and we don't have a problem with it.
All right. Here's another one. Muso is asking, kindly ask Reverend Mishwe, that will he be open to drastically limiting international brands like Nike, etc., in favor of local brands, since he advocates for entrepreneurship?
If it's limiting people's rights, that's something that will shy away from. Okay? People have the right to choose. If people say we want that brand,
yes,
on what basis can you say you can't have it when they want it? No, we'll not do that. While we are asking people to promote local businesses, local styles, local brands, at the same time we cannot say to those who want to import something, you can't import, you can't do that.
Tapelo here on X is asking, please ask him what his party has contributed since being in parliament, or are they just there in jail?
Opposition parties, obviously, don't have opportunities to contribute, to be compared to a government, because they don't have the resources that government had. People should see when a party has grown or when a party has is in government and be given the responsibility and the privilege to rule what the party can do. But the fact is, we can talk about the in contributions that we've made, we are making in parliaments, in debates. I mean, there are many, many things. Let me mention one, maybe,
yes,
that has benefited many South Africans who are still saying thank you today. The president of South Africa once said, everybody in South Africa, he started by saying, nobody's going to be forced to take the vaccine. Okay? Then he somersaulted and he said, no, we want mandatory vaccinations. And I challenged him in parliament. I said, Mr. President, you can't do that. Why? Because even though we know that God wants everybody to be saved, but God does not force everybody to be saved. So government has no right to force people to take a vaccine if they don't want it. Give people a choice. So we believe in choice, and that's what I said. So it is one of the things that, I don't know, I don't want to talk about your status, but many people who did not want to be vaccinated are saying thank you. for the step you have taken to ensure that we are not forced and our children are not forced to take the vaccine.
All right. Land with or without compensation?
Definitely with compensation, because when if somebody has improved the value by working with their hands, that value has to be recognized, it has to be acknowledged, and people have to pay for that value that I contributed. If I increase, I build, I want something for what I've built.
Ravena Mishe, my last question, why would anybody want to vote for you? Tell us in maybe 1 minute why we should vote for you.
Our slogan, as you know, is SOS. There is an emergency cry, help, okay? S, people want service. And delivery is very, very short in getting to people. We want people to get proper service delivery. We want people who have been promised water to get clean water. It is inexcusable that after 30 years, we still have people who share water with animals. That is definitely not on. So ACDP is saying service, we want to give people good service. Then order. Oh, order. There must be law and order in the country. We cannot have the mafia leave and the Chinese gangs and other gangs leave their countries to come here, because anything goes here. All right? Borders are open. You can come in any time, day or night. We want order. Everything must be done orderly. On the roads, obviously, when we say keep left, people say, have said, but if you say we must have rights, if I want to drive on the right, I must be allowed to drive on the right. I said, no, that would be disorderly. If we say left, left is left. You're not from America. If you come from America, you drove on the right, here is left, okay? We want order in society. And then the last is safety, security. We want to be safe. Human beings must be safe if they have a responsible government. The number one priority and responsibility of any government is to secure the lives of its citizens. If government fails to secure the lives of the people, women are raped all the time, children are raped, they are abducted, they are kidnapped, and they are never found. Something is wrong. People are not secure. ACDP says, bring security back to the country, and that's what we want to do.
ACDP leader, Reverend Mweshwa, thank you so much for coming through. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.